I know these conversations are sometimes almost more important than what we can get out of the workshops. The connections that we make with other writers are really essential, but I've been assigned to cover some material, so I'm going to interrupt you for a time and take you through the topic of theme. I am Stephanie J. Leinbach. I've introduced myself several times, but I never know if there's someone new in the audience that doesn't know me. I don't feel like anybody really should know me, but I've been up here several times, I guess. I'm a writer and editor, and I'm from Pennsylvania, out in the boondocks, which means there's not a lot of social life, which is the way I like it. But one thing I did want to say is, I've said this several times to a couple people in conversation, is we write in isolation, but we must edit in community. And when I look at what's being done here, this, what happens here at the conference, provides you access to a community, and I really hope you take advantage of it. The first time I attended the conference, I pretty much just sort of kept to myself. I didn't really talk. I didn't initiate conversation. I still struggle with initiating conversation. Come talk to me if I'm just standing around looking intimidating. I don't mean to be. I just get a little overwhelmed because I'm not a social person. But I do love people, and I love to talk with you and to hear your stories and hear what you're struggling with. So don't be afraid to break the ice. When CLP asked if I do a workshop called What Is Your Theme, I said, yeah, I'll do it because it scares me. And I like to do things that scare me because that's when I learn. Theme is a complex topic, and it's really hard to pin down. I hope that the process of preparing for the workshop would help me understand theme better. And then once I understood it, it wouldn't be as scary. It hasn't quite worked out that way, but we're going to do this anyway. Make sure everyone has a handout, because I want you to follow along, write down some notes, and it will help you follow along better. This right here is my family. This is my social life, and they provide plenty of it. Now, my introduction to theme as a literary element happened in literature class, ninth grade, I think. By the end of our literature book, I knew what theme was. It was the moral of the story. The truth that the writer put into the story for me, the reader, to find and absorb. It was the lesson. And that understanding of theme could not be more wrong. Theme is not the moral of the story inserted for the sake of the reader. It's not what the reader is supposed to learn from the story. So what then is theme? The title of this workshop asked the question, presupposing that there's an answer. And when I wrote the description of this workshop about 4 or 5 months ago, they make you turn it in about, I think, in November, before you even really do any studying, so you're supposed to know what you're going to talk about before you even know what you're going to talk about it, which is not as easy as you might think. But I thought I would be able to answer it, and I still don't know if I can. And here's why. I read a lot of research material to prepare for this workshop. Now, to be honest, this is actually a picture of the books that I collected for the showing and telling workshop, but the stack is comparable for theme. And I ended up reading all these books. I didn't read them cover to cover, just the sections that talk about theme. I don't have that much time. I have 4 children. But I ended up with a lot of perspective on theme that didn't mesh. Somebody said it was one thing over here, another source said it was another thing, And combining all these perspectives on theme into one coherent workshop in 1 hour looked impossible. So I thought, well, maybe I'll just scrap coherency, forget about making complete sense, and just share with you what I have learned, including some contradictory and opposing views to theme. And this feels more honest to me anyway, because theme is not something that we can put into a tidy box. Theme is not like 2 + 2 = 4 with only one right answer. And in the end, it doesn't matter how you define and use theme as long as the result is an astoundingly good story. Readers don't care about the recipe. They just want to love your story. So I hope I can give you some tools to help you use theme, even if we don't quite understand what it is. Now, this just doesn't mean, just because theme, figuring out exactly what it is, isn't important, doesn't mean that theme itself is unimportant. Far from it. The reader who ignores theme will not create an astoundingly good story. A story that is thematically sound has the potential to linger with readers long after they finish reading it. It has life-changing power. But we will have difficulty tapping into theme's power and potential if we don't understand it. And like I said, I still don't understand it. So this is a tough topic. I don't know if I can do it. So we're going to try anyway. I wanted to give you a definition. I wanted to give you something because I'm very much about an answers person. I want to figure it out. I wanted to give you a definition right here. This was the spot. You didn't fill in the blanks for number one. I'm still waiting for you. That's because I can't do it. We'll talk about number one a little bit later. But I'm going to take you through a process that I hope will reveal what theme is and isn't before we arrive at maybe a more nuanced definition of theme. Now, at this point in my workshop, I still did not know what theme was, and I was trying to figure it out. I was writing my way to an answer, and maybe in some ways we might write our way into a theme, but we'll talk about that in a little bit. Okay, on your handout for number one, you have those blanks. As we go through this workshop, I'd like you to think about what theme is, and I want you to write down your own definition, or maybe several definitions, of what you think theme might be, because we're going to talk about what you think theme is at the end, if I remember to watch the clock. Now, when you are trying to figure out the theme of your story, you have a story you want to tell. You start with this question, what is my story about? Okay, let's take this question on a test drive. We're going to ask a writer, what is your story about? And that writer says something like, it's about a pig who is going to be turned into bacon until a spider intervenes and saves his life. That sounds interesting. Lots of potential there. You recognize the story?
Charlotte's Web.
Okay, let's ask another writer what her story is about. And she will answer something like, it's a story told through the eyes of a young girl about her father risking everything to help another man who is falsely accused of a terrible crime. Oh, there's potential there too. Maybe 40 million copies kind of potential. Seriously, that book sold. Over 40 million copies. Do you recognize that story?
To Kill a Mockingbird.
If you haven't read it, please read it. It's a great book. But neither of those writers, whom you technically cannot ask because they are dead, told you their story's theme. That was not theme. What they gave you was the story concept or idea, the subject. These are not themes. So we need to dig deeper. I'm sorry, I went the wrong way. I'm very sorry. We need to dig deeper. We need to ask the question again and add just one more word, which don't ever use the word really in your writing, but when you're figuring out theme, you do need to ask, what is my story really about? Forget the characters, forget the plot, the conflict, the setting, everything else. Just what is underneath it all? So what is Charlotte's Web really about? I would say it's about friendship. What is To Kill a Mockingbird really about? I would say it's about justice. Now, we have uncovered with that sentence what some people would call the theme. But other experts consider friendship and justice to be subject matter that demonstrates the truth of the theme. So we start splitting hairs. I don't know. They think that the actual theme is a short statement that reveals what the author is trying to say about his or her story. So if we go with that definition of theme, then the theme of Charlotte's Web might be friendship requires sacrifice. Ultimately, friendship cost Charlotte her life. Well, she was going to die anyway, but you know, she gave everything. She gave everything in order to do this, right up until the day of her death. The theme of To Kill a Mockingbird could be, actually, I have no idea. Who am I to say what Harper Lee was trying to say? And here is where I get stalled with analyzing already written books without the author's input. I cannot say what E.B. White and Harper Lee were trying to say, what statement they were making about the world. I know what I get from the story. I can give you a thematic statement that sums up what the story means to me, but that's not necessarily going to be the same statement the writers were trying to make. In fact, you might even be sitting there thinking, well, if you had asked me what Charlotte's Web was about, I wouldn't have said friendship. Or I wouldn't have said To Kill a Mockingbird was about justice. In your eyes, those stories might be about something else. And that is because these are great stories with a complexity and depth to them that make them come alive in the heart of each reader. What a story means to me is not the same as what it means to you. A great story, and I'm talking about good stories here, not just every story, but a good story is a living thing. It lives in your head and in my head. And because we come to the page with different perspectives on the world, the story takes on different meanings for each of us. This is exactly how it should be. And this is why I refuse to take part in analyzing published stories for their themes. This is where I think many literature books go wrong, where we hammer the fact that there is a right answer to the theme question. When we do that in literature class, we produce students with a narrow-minded view of themes, such as the moral of the story. And we could argue all day about the themes in To Kill a Mockingbird, and everybody's perspective would be right, because who am I to say what you should get out of a story? A good story is supposed to mean something to you. It's not about what it means to me. It's only about what it matters to one individual reader. Now, we cannot authentically analyze published stories for their themes. So that leaves us with talking in vague terms about putting themes into future stories. This is why theme is so squirrely. But let me not be vague about this. Yes?
Are there extra handles?
I'm not sure what. Can you talk to an usher? Extra handouts? Let me not be vague about this. If we believe that everyone must agree on a story's theme, our own stories will have such blatant themes that they will be, can I say this, preachy lectures and pseudo-sermons. Our stories will be summed up with an unmissable moral of the story. With that belief, if I write a story that is about loyalty and trust, then the reader better think the same. You had better know by the end of the story. This story was actually about loyalty and trust. Do not miss it, dear reader. So here it is, on every page, summed up in the ending. Maybe we shouldn't do that. I have an idea. We can have a story character say, word for word, what I want the reader to know. A lecture from mom, or maybe a well-meaning friend, can act as my stand-in. That will work beautifully. Or not. Please, don't do that. I was being sarcastic. Theme is not a moral. It is not a lesson. It is not even a truth. So what is it then? And what is the point of it if no one has to agree on it? I'm going to try to show you how theme could, should work, how it might work. I am going to show you by taking you through the planning stages of a book that has been sitting quietly inside me for the last half year. I don't even know if I will ever write it, because you know how it is, writers, we get a lot of ideas that never actually see the light of day. One of the reasons why I don't know if I'll ever write it is a middle grade book for readers about ages 10 to 12, and I don't write for children. And perhaps talking about it will completely rob it of its magic. You know how it is, you have an idea in your head, and it's wonderful, and it's great, and you just can't wait to write it, and either you start writing it, or else you start talking about it to somebody else, and all of a sudden the light of day sort of makes it fall apart. That wasn't so good after all. I don't know. We'll see. I'm going to try it anyway. We'll see what happens. Now, there are two schools of thought. Actually, maybe more than two, but there's at least two basic schools of thought on when the writer should consider theme. Some sources say that you should think about theme before you write a word. Other sources say you should even let it cross your mind until you at least completed your first draft. Because theme is something that you add in during revision. Being a thorough kind of person, I say, why not do both? Why don't we think about it a little bit before we get started and then see where the story goes? We write many of our stories to make a statement about the world. Your story is saying something about what you believe, and you're expressing it through a story rather than standing up behind a podium and just simply saying what you believe. And we saw that in the last workshop where story made a statement. And in many ways, not much needed to be said after Daryl was done telling his story because we understood it. He has a gift for storytelling. I wish I had it. I'm very much of a fact-based person. Here it is. But there's a point we're trying to make. Our characters are going to learn a lesson or two and come to a new understanding of the world, at least if you are writing with a positive change arc, where the character is one way in the beginning, and by the end of the story, they have grown and improved and become a better person. And for the most part, I kind of think that our Christian stories should lean toward that, because stories should be about hope. They should not be about despair, and that's what you get into when you read a lot of your literary fiction and so forth. A lot of their stories about despair. Like, the characters are just broken, and they're not ever really put back together by the end of the story. I think that's sad, because we have a message of hope. And I think it is our job when we tell stories to give hope to the reader. And so we demonstrate that hope by having a character who grows and changes and becomes a better person, because it makes the reader think, well, maybe I can work through that, whatever that might be in my life. So this lesson or two is going to be present in our stories whether we think about it or not. So that's why I think a wise writer should at least give some thought to the meaning of her story, his story, before they begin. And then during revision and editing, she can refine and enhance the thematic elements to strengthen her theme. But I'm sort of getting ahead of myself. So, before writing, I say yes, but hold theme loosely. We'll talk about that. During writing, a little, but focus mostly on the writing. And again, we'll talk about that a little bit more. And yes, definitely during revision, think about theme. Okay, back to the story that I don't know if I will ever write. I was bullied as a child. It was especially bad when I was 10, 11, and 12. And a particular combination of events meant that I did not have the tools that I needed in order to cope with what was happening. And the effects of those years shaped me in ways I am still living out today. If I were Daryl, I would tell you a story, but I'm just going to tell you the facts. Partly because I don't know that I can tell what actually happened without assigning responsibility publicly to other people, and I don't think it's not my job to tell their story. I'm going to tell mine. Okay, but see how I can't really write about that as nonfiction. I write primarily nonfiction. I can't write about that as nonfiction because if I tell my story how it happened, there's going to be people that are named in that story that did things as a child that they probably regret today. And I can't do that. So I'm going to need to take what happened to me and maybe write fiction about it. And use my experience to fuel a fiction story. Maybe you have had a difficult real-life experience that you would like to write about, but you can't because you're going to have to name names and you just don't know if you can do it. I believe very strongly that we have the right to tell our own story, but we do not have the right to tell other people's stories, especially without their permission. And I think we should be very, very careful about writing stories that make other people look bad. When I write a story about my life, I try to make me look bad. Because I'm okay if I look bad, if I have hopefully grown by the end of the story. But I don't think it's my job to make other people look bad. And this is why Christian nonfiction can be so hard. Because we don't want to blame other people. Anyway, that was a bunny trip. Okay, because of my experience, I have some strong opinions about bullying. And I also have a strong desire to help children on both sides of the bullying problem. So you could say that I have something to say. I have a statement to make about bullying. And because I can't do it through nonfiction, perhaps I could do it through fiction. But I don't want a preachy, moralistic story. I want to create a story that has depth and complexity that rings true with the complexities of bullying. Bullying is never simple. There aren't easy solutions. If I write a story where the bullied child is kind to the bullies, and that makes the scales fall off the eyes of the bullies, and all of a sudden they realize, oh, that was mean. I'm going to be nice now. It would be completely inauthentic because kindness didn't work for me. I tried it. It didn't work. So why should I pretend it will work for a story character? So if I think about my theme, a theme will help me write a story that has depth and complexity because it will force me to think deeper than surface events. It's not what my story is about, it's what my story is really about. Theme focuses my attention on the meaning behind the event. Everything has meaning. Everything. Everything has meaning. At least it must in a story. In real life, there's lots of things that happen. And Daryl talked about that in his last workshop. Stories are not real life. There's lots of things that happen in real life that have absolutely no significance. I dropped a coffee cup on my toe. Well, there's no significance to that. I just had a broken coffee cup. But in a story, if a coffee cup drops on your toe, there better be a reason why it happened or a consequence because of it. Everything that's in your story must belong. So theme helps me to hone my attention. Now, let's give my main character a name. I'm planning this story. Let's give her Juliana. Juliana will work. So I'm going to send Juliana out into a world where with peers who will not be kind to her. It's tempting to say that her story is about bullying. But that's not the theme. That is a subject. Bullying is a subject, not a theme. I need to dig deeper. Why does bullying hurt so badly? It's because it shuts you out. Makes you feel like you don't belong. So we could say this story is about belonging. It's about acceptance. So let's go with belonging and acceptance as our as my themes. Now, if you ask, what is my story really about? And come up with a complete blank, there are two more questions you can try. What does my character want most? And why does he or she want it? Those two questions will help you. And in my case, Juliana wants most to belong. She wants to feel accepted. And why? Because belonging and acceptance touch on universal human struggles and desires. Even if you have never been bullied, you have still dealt with belonging and acceptance on some level, in some way. And that is one quality of a good theme. It is universal. Every human faces it on some level. If I build a story around the themes of belonging and acceptance, then a reader doesn't have to have been bullied in order to connect with the story. They have still dealt with the issues of belonging and acceptance in their lives, and they will be able to identify with Juliana's desire. Now, let's pause for a minute to emphasize the difference. I mentioned briefly that bullying is a subject, not a theme. I want to emphasize the difference between subject and theme. A subject is an aspect of human experience which can be featured in a story. A theme is the universal need or emotion behind that experience. A theme is why a subject matters. Teaching school is a subject. You could pull many different themes from a story about teaching school. Sacrifice, service, success versus failure, rebellion, kindness, unity. The list is endless. The themes depend on what angle the story takes on the subject and what the main characters face. Now, I'm going to give you a list of words. They are going to be either subjects or themes. I want you to shout out whether each word I give you is a subject or a theme. Is marriage a subject or a theme?
Subject.
Subject. Commitment.
Theme.
Lying.
Subject.
Sibling rivalry.
Subject.
Horses.
Subject.
Shame.
Theme.
Tithing.
Subject.
Grief.
Theme.
Honesty.
Theme.
I didn't know. Depending on how you develop it. Depending on how you develop it. It could be a subject. It could be a theme. We have, I think maybe the underlying theme behind honesty might be deception and truth. That might be more of a theme. That was a little fuzzy. That's why I put it in there. Loss of a child.
Subject.
Adoption.
Subject.
And loneliness.
Theme.
Okay, you got it. That was a test. So you understand the difference between subject and theme? Subject is, like I said, one aspect of human experience. Theme is the meaning behind it. There is an easy way to identify subjects. They make you picture something. They are concrete words. Themes are not concrete, and in this way, honesty is maybe more a theme than a subject. Themes are abstract. They do not bring images to your head. Not immediately, at least. Themes exist without a body or an object attached to them. Abstractions are the meanings behind the people and things in our story. Abstractions need physical objects to demonstrate their reality. Because how else can you demonstrate loneliness unless you show a character being lonely? Your job is, as a storyteller, is to give these abstractions flesh and bone in the form of your story characters so they can live out the truths of these abstractions. You are connecting the invisible to the visible. This is what I love most about writing. Giving flesh and bone to the invisible and to the unspoken. It is the work of the storyteller and the poet. And I feel such an amazing connection to the Creator when I do this work. He too made a world with words and created flesh and bone so the invisible could inhabit it. We're stepping into sacred ground here. This is beautiful. Anyway, on a personal note, I got distracted. Those of you that were in yesterday's emotions workshop may see some overlap between emotions and theme. A theme goes deep to the heart of humanity. It is not what happens to us. It is about why and how we respond to those events. And again, I repeat, a theme should be common to humanity. A theme must be universal to work. There's another difference between subjects and themes. Subjects are mentioned frequently in a story. Themes are rarely mentioned, if ever, because they are the invisible foundation supporting the entire story. So let's go back to Juliana's story and see how we build that foundation. Now, I should insert here that I am going to draw very heavily from my own life, but Juliana's story is not my story. This is not what happened to me when I was 10, 11, and 12. I'm merely using experiences that I have had over the last 36 years to create her story. This is a little bit tied into writing what you know. So Juliana is 11. She attends a large school, and her grade has about a dozen girls. The girls do not get along, and for reasons I haven't worked out yet, Juliana is a target for their meanness. Their teacher is inexperienced and doesn't see the problems. With the themes of belonging and acceptance, there are 1,000 nuances. So we're going to need to narrow down each aspect of Juliana's story to a single thematic statement or question. Belonging is a good theme, but it's too broad to guide us as we write. So we need to fashion a thematic statement or question that clarifies her struggle at school. This statement or question addresses one aspect of belonging and acceptance. Now, this would look different for all of us. We're not, what I show you isn't like one right answer. I'm simply demonstrating how the questions I might ask as I develop this story. So for Juliana's school problems, a good thematic question might be, how does an outsider become an insider? Notice how general this is. It can apply to any of us, to many stories. It is a universal human question. In fact, you might be sitting here, an inexperienced, unpublished writer, asking the same thing. A good thematic question is not story specific, such as, how does Juliana get the other girls to accept her? That question is about plot, not theme. Theme is very big picture and universal. How does an outsider become an insider is a good question, but there's an even better question. Remember I said dig deeper. What about, should an outsider want to become an insider? This question not only recognizes Juliana's desire to belong, but it questions if that desire is a good thing. And perhaps we can see how she might get into trouble because of that desire. So always dig deeper. Challenge the existence of the human desire behind the statement. Because when you do this, you raise internal questions within your character, not just external questions between characters. You need your characters doubting themselves. You need them to not be sure if they can make it. For theme to create a powerful story, we absolutely must, or I absolutely must, work the same themes into other aspects of Juliana's story. In real life, we're working with and facing all kinds of issues simultaneously. But as I said before, a story is not real life. We make a huge mistake when we try to create real life stories, because a story is carefully honed to make the greatest impact possible. And theme is the tool that you use to hone it. This is the knife in your hand. So everything that goes into the story must pass the theme test. For Juliana's story, I must ask, how does this new story idea or plot twist fit with the themes of belonging and acceptance? Because Juliana needs to face this issue on multiple levels. So if I were writing this story, I would need to flesh out a lot more details about her school problems. I don't have a grasp yet on what all's going on because I haven't written the story. But we're focused on theme right now, so we're going to move on to other aspects of her life. She's not just a schoolgirl. She's more than that. So she has a family. The themes of belonging and acceptance must apply to that whole story. So if Juliana would go home and face struggles that tie into themes of maybe contempt or anger, the story gets watered down. Again, I say theme is the tool that helps you to hone your story. Okay, let's say that Juliana has a little sister who has just started seizing and was diagnosed with a form of genetic epilepsy. This is why I say I'm pulling from my own life. I have a daughter with a form of genetic epilepsy, but I don't have siblings with it, so I'm stealing from my whole life, not just from my childhood. So this daughter with epilepsy is significant on two levels. Juliana's parents are focused on caring for her little sister. And so Juliana is withholding the truth about school from her parents because she doesn't want to burden them with something else. So with no parental support plus an inexperienced teacher, Juliana is dealing with the school issues on her own. And that ties into the belonging theme, because the opposite of belonging would be being alone. We want to belong so that we are not alone. And the family aspect of Juliana's story could be honed with another thematic question. You don't just have to ask one. Where do we go when we face trouble alone? Notice I did not say, how do we face trouble alone? Avoid how questions. They are often about plot, and they'll get you thinking about the plot details. Asking where we want to go for help when we are alone suggests that Juliana is going to turn to someone or something. And when I was working on the workshop, I actually got goosebumps at this point, because until I asked that question, I did not see that she needed to do exactly that. Juliana must go somewhere with her problems. We do. Generally. I mean, unless your story is about how someone completely isolates themselves. But in this story about belonging, she's looking for some place to belong. So narrowing theme down to a question helps you to see exactly what goes into your story. Again, theme hones your story. With that one question, I just deepened the story. I opened it up to new possibilities. And of course, we know that wherever she goes will only lead her into more trouble, because It just needs to get worse and worse and worse, as talked about in Daryl's workshop. So, back to Juliana's sister. The epilepsy is also significant because it means that the other siblings, including Juliana, could have the same genetic mutation. Juliana herself could have it, and she could start seizing if she has a mutation. This ties into belonging and acceptance, too. Our families are the most basic places to belong and where we learn to accept and love other people. What if your family becomes a thing to fear? A heritage you wish you could reject because of how it might hurt you. So this can be honed to a thematic question. What do you do with a heritage that could harm you and those you love? Now, Juliana would never say that aloud. Juliana is 11. She can't even express this question, but she can feel the fears behind it. Her story has, her family has unintentionally become a source of great fear at a very vulnerable time in her life. And she doesn't have the words to ask that question, but she feels the emotions. So because she doesn't have the words for it, this question should never appear in your story, in my story. Theme and thematic questions are not or rarely mentioned in the story. In fact, I want you to take this home. If you forget everything else, remember this. Theme is not for the reader. Theme is for the writer. Theme gives you guideposts and a map for writing your story. Don't worry about what the reader will get from the story. That doesn't matter. The reader will get something if you use theme well. Their interpretation of the story will likely be different from yours. That is okay. That is good. That means your story is an alive thing that has bloomed in their heart and their mind. You want them to get something different because that means it has taken on a meaning significant to them. Don't put thematic questions in your story. They're for you as you write. They're for me as I write. Allow them to power your story like an invisible engine. And somehow the presence of those invisible questions allows the reader to find their own meaning in the story. I don't quite understand how it works, but it does work. I think this is because thematic questions force the reader to dig to the meanings behind the events, and you write differently when you find those meanings. Now, back to Juliana. Juliana's sister is seizing violently, at times in public. Juliana is embarrassed as only an 11-year-old can be embarrassed. My oldest daughter just turned 12 last week. Again, I draw from my own life. She has unkind classmates. What if they see her sister seize? What if they find out Juliana might have the same thing? To a bullied child, this is a terrible fear. This could be boiled down to a thematic question. What do you do when you are secretly ashamed of someone you also deeply love? Anyone who has had a strong-minded 2-year-old knows how difficult this question is. There needs to be one more area where Juliana deals with theme-related issues. I'm just going off my own gut when I say that. The story setup doesn't quite feel complete in my mind. That's not advice that applies to your stories. This is just a feeling I have about this particular story. Okay, remember the question where I said, where do you go when you are alone and in trouble? Juliana needs to turn to someone who gives her the acceptance that she craves. Maybe it's someone that was brought into her life because of epilepsy. Maybe it's a girl whose family has the same mutation. And maybe this girl should be a little older, so Juliana looks up to her and feels honored when she's accepted by this girl. And this girl definitely in some way needs to be misguided. Something about the relationship is going to get Juliana in trouble, although I don't yet know what. So what do we have by now? A story with a theme, themes of belonging and acceptance. These are the questions. Should an outsider want to become an insider? Where do we go when we face trouble alone? What do you do with a heritage that could harm you and those you love? And what do you do when you are secretly ashamed of someone you also deeply love? Now, when we look at these questions, we see that you could pull different themes from them. You could include the themes of isolation and shame. As a story is written, It may take an unexpected direction, as stories may have minds of their own sometimes. Story themes may shift and change as the story unfolds. The themes that I laid out here are not the only way to tell the story. For now, they are enough. But as I write, I might realize that I thought the story was about this, but it's actually about this. And that is completely normal and natural. So hold theme loosely. It helped you, it got you started, but don't be so focused and narrow-minded that you don't open yourself up to the possibility the story could take a different direction. Now, if I were writing this story, I'd have to do a lot more planning. I need to lay out a little bit of timeline, figure out who the other characters are, establish a setting, 1,000 other details. But this is enough theme to start writing. Once I start writing, I need to keep returning to the theme and the thematic questions. Like I said, hold it loosely, but do keep it in mind. We writers can get sidetracked by bunny trails and pet topics, and we wander off into the meadow and romp around for a while. Theme can help pull you back. The challenge will be knowing if the bunny trail is actually the real story. Sometimes we go off on the bunny trail, and then we find the real story in the bushes. So this is why theme is so hard. I can't give you something that is 1 + 1 = 2. It doesn't. It's such a intuitive thing. You're just going to have to try it. So if I come across too dogmatic, forgive me. I'm just a dogmatic person. But I don't mean to be that way about theme. It is very much of a creative process. You can forget about theme during the first draft. That's perfectly fine, too. Theme can wait for the revision and the rewriting stage, and then you use it as a test. So be strict with your story, but open to change. No scene should be thematically flawed, but the story may take you places that alter the theme. So, yeah, like I said, it's complex. Now, there are 5 ways that a story can be, that a theme in a story can be enhanced and refined during revision. This is not during first draft. This is during revision. This is what you go back and add in. These are places where thematic elements can be strengthened. The first one is theme and word choice. And I talk a little bit about this in the emotions class. The words you choose have a lot of power in creating the mood and the emotion in the story. Do the sounds and meanings of your words support the theme? For instance, in Juliana's school scenes, I could choose words that support her feelings of being an outsider. I can use words like stark, black, hard words. I could have her be cold in one scene because being on the outside is cold. It has to make sense in the story. You can't just plop it on like icing. You need to work it in so it makes sense. But you think about the mood of the scene. Does this support my theme? For scenes with Juliana and her sister, I could try to find words that and reinforce the conflicted shame and love that she feels. Theme in setting. A story's setting can be a huge thematic reinforcement. You've seen this done every time you read a scary or dramatic scene in which lightning was flashing and thunder was rolling. The writer was using theme to enhance, was using setting to enhance the story's theme. But this can be overdone, so use a light hand. Your character does not need to get lost on the way to church just to support her confusion and doubt over God's faithfulness. A thunderstorm should not descend on the house every time a husband and wife have an argument. The setting should feel inevitable, as if the characters were going to be there anyway, not as if the writer just rolled a backdrop onto the stage in clear view of the audience. It would be silly for Juliana to get confused at school, like which way to turn in the hallway. She's 11. She's attended this school all her days. But if Juliana's sister ends up in the hospital, it would be perfectly reasonable for Juliana to get confused at the hospital. This ties in nicely with her confusion over how to feel about her sister, but don't point it out. Just let it there for the reader to get, if they're paying attention. So, theme and character. This is not a workshop on character development. We could spend a whole hour on this, how theme and character are tied together. You should not be able to untangle theme from your character. Theme should be so integral. The themes of belonging and acceptance, that desire, are built into Juliana. She needs that. And if we try to take that out, her character should fall apart. In most stories, like I said earlier, characters should grow and change. The struggles they face help them to become better people. The themes should push characters into uncomfortable places, and the reason why they struggle there is because that's where they're weak. So themes should target character weakness. This works even for true stories. It works in my life. Okay, I crave a steady, predictable life. Routine never bores me. I don't need excitement and variety and surprise parties. I want to know what today holds, and I need to be able to prepare myself for it to the best of my ability. And wouldn't you know, God allowed me to love a little girl whose future is completely unpredictable. My daughter could be seizing right now, and I can do nothing to change that. This would be hard for any mother, but for a mother who wants to predict and prepare, it is especially hard. I'm not saying, pity me, I have it worse off. It's hard, but do you see how God gave me something that targets my own weakness? Now, whether he gave it or allowed it, this is not a question. This is not a workshop on that. But anyway, because I don't roll very well with the punches, God gave me a daughter who forces me to daily confront my weakness and overcome it with trust in him. Maybe God knows about theme too. So Juliana's weaknesses need to tie into her story's theme. What if her desire to belong makes her behave in ways that make the girls dislike her even more? What if she says things to her sister that hurt her and her parents because of her shame? So the trick will be to write about her weaknesses in a way that the readers will feel sympathy for her and not dislike her. Without characters, you have no theme. Without theme, you have no interesting characters. Okay, theme and dialogue. This is the fun one. This is the one that makes me sarcastic. Because we can just have a character lecture another character on the moral of the story. Notice the capital letters there. If I had $10 for every lecture I've read that was disguised as dialogue, I would hire a maid so I could write more. There is a time and a place for an occasional lecture, but only if the character is receiving new information in that lecture and there is no other way for the character to learn it. We like characters who learn on their own, not get spoon-fed, here's the truth. Because when we read, we put ourselves in the shoes of the character. When the character gets lectured, we kind of get lectured. If I can convince all of you to never write a lecture into the dialogue of your future stories, I will consider this workshop a smashing success. That's how strongly I feel about it. Do not lecture each other in dialogue. It is spoon-feeding. This is especially true for children's stories. And I know that I am going to be tempted to put a wise and moralizing mother in Juliana's story who tells her what to do, and Juliana does it, and it works. But children want to read about characters who are learning stuff on their own, who are figuring it out on their own. Yes, a parent can be wise, but don't have them lecture. Juliana's parents can help her connect the dots, but don't shoehorn advice into every chapter. So that is something that I would want to look at very seriously in revision. Have I let lecture leak into my dialogue? There's another form of dialogue in stories, the internal dialogue, the things that we say to ourselves. Characters can also lecture themselves sometimes or go on and on and on about their problems. Readers are more interested in action than thinking. Don't overdo it. Okay, of course, I saved the most interesting one for last, and now we're running out of time. Theme and symbols and motifs. Symbols are clever ways for writers to expand their themes without crashing the reader over the head with it. A symbol is something in a story that stands for something other than its obvious meaning. Symbols can be an object, a thought, an idea, a phrase, an event. Seasons and weather changes can be symbols. Maple leaves can fall around a new grave. A rose unexpectedly blooming in October suggests hope. A broken dish or vase or treasured item stands for the broken pieces in someone's life. You've absorbed a lot of symbols and you don't even, at least I don't even realize how much I've absorbed. Purple stands for royalty, green for growth, white for innocence, red for anger, unless it's a red rose, and then it means true love. A caged bird represents unjust imprisonment. A wild bird speaks of freedom. Midnight speaks of fears and unknowns, sunrise of new opportunities. Snow has transforming qualities, changing ugly into beautiful. Snakes are creepy and horrible. A road frequently portrays the journey of someone's life. We draw on symbols' power without even being aware of it. So why not open your eyes and use it? These symbols have enormous potential to create thematic atmosphere. Now, don't mislead readers with symbols that represent themes not included. Don't just throw a random snake in just to make a creepy scene. Use symbols that actually fit with the story. Symbols only need to appear once or twice, but a symbol that appears repeatedly throughout a story is known as a motif. When I selected Charlotte's Web and To Kill a Mockingbird in the beginning of this workshop when I was preparing for it, I did not realize that both of them have a motif that appears in the title. The spider web appears frequently throughout the story in the title. It became a symbol of the friendship between Charlotte and Wilbur. To Kill a Mockingbird has a motif of birds. People, the main character's last name is Finch. This writer knew what she was doing. The mockingbird appears repeatedly throughout the story, but it never feels forced. It's part of the story. So it takes intentional crafting to maximize the power of a motif. I recommend working on this definitely during revision. You can end up forcing something into a story that doesn't really fit. Just write the story. I have no idea about symbols and motifs in Juliana's story. I do not feel ready at all to analyze that because I haven't written the story. I'd have to see what happens. Now, you are going to face a terrible temptation with your theme. You are going to want to point out to the reader how clever you have been. Would you rather be thought clever, or would you rather make someone else feel clever for noticing? That occurs several times. And the title even. You know how clever I felt when I realized that Finch was the last name, the character? Harper Lee never pointed that out, but I felt amazing for realizing that. You want to give readers that experience. So make someone else feel clever. And the reader will feel more connected to the story because you've made them think. And you've given them the pieces, but you haven't assembled the puzzle. So resist that temptation. Do not over-explain. Now, this doesn't mean that you should produce vague stories with no definite outcomes. Our stories need to have very real people and events, and there should be some kind of resolution. I'm talking about the meaning of the story. Don't launch into explanations about what it means. Tell a strong story and allow the reader to sift through the meanings and find one that matters to them. Quickly, what is your definition of theme?
Invisible foundation.
What's that? The heartbeat. How would you define theme?
There is no right or wrong answer. The connection, or you could say a thread, that runs through the story.
And one that is universally relatable.
A universal, relatable meaning or significance. Do you see why theme is so hard to define? And a good story, you won't even necessarily think about the theme, it will just be there. If a reader finishes your story and knows exactly what your theme was, you have failed.